Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cynthia Johnson.
I'm Dr. Reggie Johnson.
We're your hosts this fabulous, fabulous Monday morning. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. I hope you had a tremendous weekend and you've had an opportunity to relax and play and
meditate
and all that good stuff. It was a great weekend to do that. I mean, of course, there's only one sign of weather here in Atlanta right now.
Cloudy and rain.
That's been the whole summer.
We stole Seattle weather.
Yes, we did. But, you know, we used to live in California, and we would say, oh, the weather is sunny.
And one weatherman just started laughing. It was just sunny all the time. And what else can it be?
Right.
He lost it on the air.
So we went from one extreme to another. How are you this morning?
I feel great this morning.
No, I can. Mm-hmm. I love it when you wake up and you've got this great energy. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love it. So this weekend we went to see this movie about Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer.
It was a much better movie than I thought it was going to be, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a documentary, but it wasn't. It was a real life story with Ashton Kutcher and some great actors. It was very, very good.
It was amazing. You know, what I love about going to the movies is because I can always find a spiritual principle.
Yes.
In any movie. So, and Dr. Reggie and I like to share with you some really good movies. But if you have not had a chance to see, Will Smith and his son's movie.
Oh, After Earth.
After Earth. Please go and see
that
it.
That was very good. Those spiritual principles were amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
And what he taught him is great.
This particular movie, they really played it in a way where Steve Jobs there was something else operating in his life. They didn't say it, but they visually gave you the impression that he was operating from his super consciousness.
Yes.
His vision, his creativity was all flowing from his higher self. And, you know, he was on some drugs, and some psychotropic drugs open up your third eye or...
Mm-hmm.
You move into an altered state of consciousness, and he evidently early on in college, just like so many other people, was experimenting with this stuff, and he could hear a whole symphony in his mind, you know, and you could tell there was a gleam in his eye. One of the guy who first invested in Apple said, I know you're on to something great. I can see it in your eye. And
because he said he had the same look in his eye.
He said, I recognize it because I had the same look. Yeah, it was just amazing. So the language that was used and some of the visual images that came across was really conveying that there was something greater than humanness that was taking place with him.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was to see his fears, how his fears played out, and the law of karma, how it played out in his life, the law of karma. Here he was, he created this company. He was the spearhead of creativity And that's, I said, you know, he was not a programmer. He was not an industrial engineer in terms of design. If you look at the classes that he chose to take in college, he was exposing himself spiritually, artistically, and a little bit of computer stuff. He sneaked out of those classes. But it rounded him out to bring, he says, what's important. I love this line. He says, what we want to do is touch someone's heart. And if we can do that, you know, he said, that is magnificent. So what computer geek is thinking about touching someone's heart?
That's right.
And this is what he brought to Apple. It was just an amazing experience. I encourage you to go and watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to watch the film from your higher self and from the principles that you're learning here on Circles of Prosperity. And then send me an email and tell me your thoughts. Or just call in and tell me what you thought about the movie after you saw it. Anytime, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad and share. Because we all gain from hearing your experience. We all learn from your experience as well. So it's not just about me and Dr. Reggie talking to you. We want you to talk to us too. I extend this invitation quite often, and you guys don't take me up on it. But I'm waiting. I am waiting. I know the right day will come. So I don't think anything else is coming up right now.
No.
I don't have any other announcements. You want to take us into our morning prayer?
I do.
Okay.
I bet you my last piece. Okay, here we go.
He's eating ginger snaps.
I love them. I take a deep breath in, everybody.
Okay.
And let's enjoy the first breath of the morning with gratitude. Because breath is life.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the energy of beingness, being able to know who we are at a deeper, profound level, letting us know and experience the soul and the mind of which you both have control over and us in you. You gave us free will, and that free will can move mountains or bring great destruction. Let us use it for the positive energy of uplifting and empowering other people as well as ourselves. Let us be that light in the world to be worthy of being called light workers, because you are operating on energy of love, light, peace, and understanding. And we thank you for that power in our lives, that we can change anything about us at any time that we wish. And with your help, we're being engineered in a wonderful way and guided by the Holy Spirit, the most powerful energy in the universe. And we thank you for that, to being in that kingdom within ourselves and eternally. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Thank you so much. So we are in, you know, some of these chapters that I get into, I go, oh, this is so tedious. And I think, oh, how am I going to present this information?
Right.
And I don't want to skip anything. Listen, I know to some of you, you're like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, this is boring. But I'm doing is
that's where your greatest lessons are.
That's right. And I'm sharing these experiences with you, sharing this information with you. And I guarantee you that at some point, it is going to bless you, because you will have heard this, and then you're going to hear something else, and you're going to link it together and continue to blossom and grow. So there's value in everything that we're sharing, even though sometimes it may not be as inspirational. It may not give you that thing of where you want to jump up and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
But you know what it does? When you hear something over and over again, I have a premise that says repetition creates impact.
Yes.
When you hear it, it's going to impact your life in a great way. It doesn't matter how many times. And that means experientially and from an auditory point, you know it.
Oh, I was doing a meditation from Oren and Deben.
Yes. Oh, my God. Those are powerful meditations.
And they were talking about light. And here's the and there was one where they were saying, you're in your this is your emotional body. You're in your emotional body. And I was drawing upon the lessons that we had here
mm-hmm.
of understanding, you know, about the emotional body. And it made my meditation so much more powerful because I understood the terminology
mm-hmm.
that they
mm-hmm.
were using and the states of consciousness that they were working in at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say, you know, this may be tedious, but this is really about learning who you really are. And we don't walk around and say, oh, my emotional body, my physical body. We're not doing that. But the awareness of it will have a gentle shift in how you move and have your being on planet
mm-hmm.
Earth. So what we're doing now, we are in the chapter dealing with psychoepistemology. This is a PhD course, okay? Chapter 13 of Soul Psychology by Joshua David Stone. And he has defined psychoepistemology as uniting the fields of psychology and spirituality. He broke down the meaning for us. He says that the term psychoepistemology is composed of two parts. There's the psycho part, and then there's the epistemology. Now, epistemology is the branch of philosophy that deals with the nature and the origin of knowledge, our knowing. And then the psycho comes from the Greek word that means psyche, which means breath, or even spirit,
mm-hmm.
or mind. So psychoepistemology, the whole word means the mind or the spirit's knowing. The mind or the spirit's knowing. And so now he's moving through this chapter and telling us about, I think the whole chapter is about balance and imbalance in terms of, because psychoepistemology really sets up our beliefs, which sets up our perceptions, which sets up out the choices that we make and the lens through which we experience life. And he's trying to show us how sometimes this knowing, the mind's knowing, or the spirit's knowing, you know, is not in balance when the negative ego is in control. That's
mm-hmm.
really what this whole chapter is
that's
about.
Right, that's right.
And he's breaking it down on different levels. So I'm going to pick up with a paragraph that we read last week, and then we'll continue from there. I just love this. I shared it with Dr. Reggie this morning. And he said, oh, wow. He says, the most widespread imbalanced psychoepistemology views life through the negative ego mind rather than the Christ mind. Okay? In truth, it is the negative ego that causes imbalance and distorts our perception. Grab hold of that. Write it down. All perception is, in a sense, a dream. But the idea is to perceive and live God's dream, which is a mirror and or a window for the ultimate reality.
Whoa, that's a hallelujah moment right there.
Isn't that something? Okay, so I think that just lays the groundwork right there.
It does.
We could end it and just walk away right there. My goal is to live God's dream.
Wow.
Oh, that's just amazing. So psychoepistemology can also exist at the level of smaller groups. Here's a person, Rajneesh. He's now known as Osho. He was a high-level guru who identified with the superconscious and the subconscious, but not as much with the conscious mind. That is why his ashram was a haven for the spiritual humanistic psychologists. Humanistic psychologists tend to be over-identified with of feminine psychology rather than balancing it with spirituality. So I found, meaning Joshua Stone found, that the realization, self-realization fellowship organization, whose work that he supported, it was to be the opposite. They had an incredible spirituality, but the organization wanted everyone to be immersed in their focus, which is a masculine psycho-epistemology. Remember last week we did talk about the balance between the masculine energy and the feminine energy, that we can't be too much on either side, that we have to find a balance. He then talks about Alcoholics Anonymous, and he says it's, even though it's a wonderful organization, there is an imbalance in their psycho-epistemology. Because the basic teaching is that all power is in God and that the alcoholic has no power. And this is true in a sense, but in another way, it is a dangerously false premise. Because what they're trying to do is help individuals surrender their negative ego. That's fantastic. The problem is that they do not explain clearly enough that there are three levels of power or that one must own in order to be effective. Those are God power, your personal power on the conscious mind level, and the subconscious mind power, which can be utilized through affirmation and creative visualization. You must own your personal power to transcend negative ego consciousness. For God will not do this part for you. The organization means very well, and I greatly support it, but this philosophical point needs to be clarified. And I think people that are in that program, I think they're using their personal power just to stay there. You know, this is his opinion. I won't say that I differ with it or agree with it. But I know people who are successfully utilizing the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think even though they don't explain it and express it that way, that to stay in that program and committed to it, people are owning their personal power. Another common but faulty New Age psycho-epistemology is the belief that we must incorporate all parts of ourselves into our being. And that this may sound good, but actually this is a delusion of the negative ego. And it is true that you want to integrate your rays, your chakras, your super personalities, your soul extensions, your four bodies. But the one thing that you do not want to incorporate is your negative ego. You must disidentify with your negative ego and its faulty philosophy of life. You must reject your lower self and completely identify with your higher self in order to realize God. And as he has mentioned early in this book, he says that another common psychoepistemology that light workers commonly hold is the false sense of the balance theory, the belief that everything in life must be balanced. And this sounds right, except for the fact that you don't want to balance the lower self with the higher self. You don't want to balance the negative ego way of thinking and the Christ way of thinking. Still, you would be amazed at how many people on the planet buy into this delusion, thinking that it is a legitimate philosophy. Because if you believe in this theory, you will end up saying, oh, I'm going to be a loving half of the time and attacking the other half. Or I'm going to have high self-esteem half the time and low self-esteem the other half. So do you see how absurd this is? You want to get rid of all the negative ego qualities and traits. You don't want to incorporate or to balance the two. Here is the most classic delusion of all. Light workers say that they want to balance their dark and their light side. There is no judgment here upon those who want to follow these beliefs. And the point is that at one time or another, Joshua Stone followed those same perceptions and beliefs. And he says, that's why I'm able to write about it and tell you that's not the way. I've grown, I've developed, and listen, that's just not the way. He says, why would anyone want to balance the dark and the light? This is a classic example of a faulty psycho-epistemology and shows how easily we can all be seduced by the dark side of the Force, as Master Yoda would say from Star Wars. So we are not here to incorporate darkness. Look, A Course in Miracles says that we are the light of the world, that our true identity is light and God. So all darkness is created by the negative ego. It's not by God. And darkness is just another word for negative ego. So if you actually believe that you want to balance darkness and light, then your own mind will create darkness. Did you hear that? Your own mind is going to create darkness. For your thoughts create your reality.
And that's why so many light workers tell me, oh, you got to come and exercise my house. There's demons running around or this. Somebody's trying to put a curse on me. All that's from the negative ego.
Yes, but it's thought. They're creating it. Dr. Reggie used to tell me years ago, oh, those are negative thought forms.
Yeah.
And now I'm just realizing the
why they have life.
What you're saying. Because what we think creates. And we're going to have that experience. We each live our own self-created heaven or our own self-created hell. It is our mind that creates bondage or liberation. What you think doesn't create truth, but what you think is the reality that you will live in. Mankind has not yet come to the full realization of the incredible power of its own mind. And at its best, it will lead you to the sublime height of God realization. But at its worst, when not mastered, it will manifest psychosis and schizophrenia. There is a way of thinking that will bring you peace and happiness, joy and light all of the time. That's why I call this lesson Finding Peace. Finding Peace. There's another way of thinking that will bring you the complete opposite. Which way? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? And we're talking about you're creating moment to moment, moment to moment, moment to moment. We are not here in this world to demonstrate positivity and negativity. We are here to demonstrate only positivity. The spiritual path is nothing more than becoming aware of this, seeing it in others, and demonstrating it in our daily lives. We don't have to try to become one with God. Because we are already one with God. We always have been and always will be one with God. All else is an illusion. All else is an illusion. Do not hold on to any darkness, for your true identity is light. Don't let your perceptions be dimmed by faulty psycho-epistemologies. God, Christ, love, and light are all words that at their foundation mean the same thing. We're not trying to raise our darkness quotient. We're trying to raise our light quotient.
Hallelujah.
So to believe that we need to balance dark and with light or hold on to negative emotions is to be seduced by the dark side. As Darth Vader said to Luke Skywalker, give in to your anger and your fear.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking Luke to let his negative ego guide him. Anger, fear, superiority, inferiority, attack, defense, light, darkness are the other aspects of the negative ego, Christ consciousness dichotomy. We can't allow ourselves to flip back and forth between the two. The negative ego wants us to be caught in duality. So there is a way of thinking that transcends this state of consciousness. The key is the transcendence of duality. Krishna spoke of this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, the Christ of the Eastern world, counseled us to remain in even-mindedness. Equanimity, peace, joy, love, and light at all times. Whether we have profit or loss, pleasure or pain, sickness or health, victory or defeat, whether people praise us or criticize us, we need to remain the same. This is the secret to God realization. You're not moved one way or the other because you are standing solid in the realization that you and God are one, that you are light, that you have power. So what does it matter what someone says about you? It does not.
Doesn't make it true.
It does not make it true. So this way of thinking, it allows us to remain in inner peace, does it not? Regardless of what is going on the outside of self, it is a state of consciousness unaffected by the turmoil of the world or the negativity of others. Dajrul called it, this state of consciousness is divine indifference. Others have called it involved detachment. In essence, it is the state that transcends duality. This is the divine nectar that Sai Baba and Yogananda speak of and that the world so desperately needs. This is the divine nectar that Buddha speaks of in his Four Noble Truths. So do not remain stuck. Do not remain stuck in personality level psycho epistemology. Have courage now and take the leap of consciousness from personality level psycho epistemologies to ones based on the soul and the monad. Seek truth, not outdated belief systems that we have outgrown like a set of old clothes. We want you to reach now for the highest that is within humankind. To hold on to the darkness and light is a philosophy. As a philosophy, is to remain stuck in the negative ego's game. You're caught in its web. But remember that the only way to get rid of the superiority and the inferiority complex is to laugh it off the stage. Laugh it off the stage. The only way to truly find inner peace is to transcend the entire negative ego system. To develop a transcendent philosophy. Woo! Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath and just marinate in that truth. I am not here to play games with negative energy.
Amen.
I am here to be the light in the story. And let me tell you, I just recently had an experience where that little negative ego was trying to mess with me. And I had to say no. It was really, you know, questioning, oh, you know, you don't really know what you're doing and all this kind of stuff. No. I had to deny it and transcend. So you are constantly practicing the truth. Woo! He says, this is the problem with traditional psychology. It does not integrate the spiritual aspects. And so there is no possibility of seeing the potential for transcendence. And as a result, it teaches people to try to heal themselves while remaining stuck under the negative ego's ground rules. The highest potential of traditional psychology is just a partial healing at best. True inner peace, true happiness, true joy, true bliss can never be found through this path. When we look at life from this new transcendent perspective, everything is light. Everything that happens is positive. For in truth, it is God teaching us through the universe what we need to learn. And sometimes, it is even our higher self providing our lessons. At other times, the law of karma presents us with what we have set in motion in this life or past life. But in truth, whatever happens is a blessing if we will just look at it this way. Happiness from the soul's perspective is a state of mind, not an outside experience. Did you hear that? Happiness from the soul's perspective is a state of mind, a state of consciousness. It's not an outside experience. Why does he say that? What is the core teaching of Circles of Prosperity that he can make that statement? Because what we think about, we bring about. Our state of consciousness, what our meaning, equaling and meaning, the thoughts within our mind are creating the outer experience. So, what are you thinking? That's how happiness from the soul's perspective. In other words, when we're creating happiness in mind, we're in a state of happiness in mind. Our thoughts are happy thoughts. In mind, that's where the joy is. The outer experience is a reflection, only a reflection of what we created in mind. This gets back to the principle of having preferences rather than attachments. If everything in your life is a preference rather than an attachment, your happiness can never be taken away. I would prefer a brand new car, but as long as I have transportation, I'm happy. My preference would be a chauffeur-driven car, but if I have to drive myself, okay. There's a difference between I will only get into a car where I'm chauffeur-driven, and that your happiness depends on that reality. You know what? I believe you can create it. We can create everything. But to say, you know, the moment that's gone, you're depressed. You know, your whole value system changes when that's gone. Then you become depressed and unhappy. That's an attachment. Okay. So God is asking you now to take a leap. God is asking you to take a leap in your spiritual progression. He wants you to make the move to begin transcending your duality and your negative ego consciousness and begin the process of interpreting the Christ mind, the mind guided by Christ. And it lives in perfection at all times, not in limitation. It is a mind that sees beyond appearances and practices. It is innocent perception, seeing the Christ in all. This mind finds love. It doesn't find fault. It is a mind that is optimistic, not pessimistic. It is a mind that thinks positively and not negatively. And the mind is a very brilliant instrument. However, it can be used just as brilliantly by the negative ego and the dark brotherhood as it can be used by the soul and the brotherhood of light. So do not be seduced by this negative ego's glamour or his tricks and his traps, because one must be constantly vigilant for God and his kingdom. Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Think on those things that are loving and beautiful all the time. Same message, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
The decision that you make this day to transcend your negative ego may be the single most important decision that you will ever make in your life. If your psycho-epistemology is imbalanced in your entire life and all your relationships, well, they reflect this imbalance. But if your psycho-epistemology is contaminated by negative ego, your four-body system, all your relationships, and your entire life will be contaminated. So it's now time for you to get clear. Clearer than you have ever gotten in your entire life. Do not listen to me. Listen to your own higher self and the mighty I Am presence, because they will confirm the truth that I speak. If I am telling you the truth, which is what we all seek, then your own soul will acknowledge this truth within your own being with a resounding yes. We are going right to the core of the negative ego and its long-time control on humanity. We are coming in powerfully with the sword of discernment, striking at every single one of the negative epistemological delusions. We do not want you to listen to us. We want you to seek the highest possible truth within yourself. It will take great courage and discernment for many of you to free yourself from this vice-like grip that the negative ego has held over you. The key to breaking free is examining your belief system, examining your personal psycho-epistemology. And once that negative ego has been wounded in this area, its death is imminent. Everyone on the spiritual path must at some point go through the negative ego death to be born again. Do you see now what Jesus was saying? You must be born again. I'm not speaking of being born again in the fundamentalist Christian sense, but in the true spiritual sense of the term. It's just what he's doing is reinterpreting that scripture on a spiritual basis, not moving you into a state of fear, but asking you to look within yourself, and if you perceive this to be true, that you will move and work on eliminating your negative ego. And only move in the spirit of your higher self. So we must die to the negative ego in order to be born again into the realization that each one of us is the Christ, and that we each share the identity of the eternal self. God has only one child. And we all share in that relation. So we must be born again to full realization that each one of us is the light of the world, made in God's image, and one with Him. We must be born again to the fact that we are perfect in our creation. In this holy instant, we wake up from the bad dream of the negative ego within which we have been locked for eons. The whole purpose of life is to wake up from the delusion and to demonstrate our Christ consciousness on earth. And the first step is to have this awakening. The second step is to see the Christ consciousness in others. And if you don't see it in others, you will lose it in yourself. Just as you are the Christ and one with God, so are your brothers and sisters, no matter what their state of consciousness and their development. Because the third step is to practice demonstrating the state of consciousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It is by demonstrating this psycho epistemology consistently that we pass our initiation. How many of you are there? How many of you are walking that path and being vigilant of this truth? Listen, we will ultimately develop ascended master abilities as a natural byproduct of our true godliness, practiced and demonstrated over and over a long period of time. Because the truest test will come when we allow ourselves to be responsive to life and to other people and to live our Christ consciousness in the workplace, in romantic relationships, and in raising children. These are the ultimate tests of our spiritual, psychological, and physical development. Can I take this truth to my workplace? Can I move through the day in my workplace in the truth that I am the Christ? Can I raise my children from the perspective that I am the Christ? You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, "What would Jesus do? What would that great ascended master do?" We have a blueprint.
He left it
there for us to see how he demonstrates Christ consciousness daily. When we prove our ability to our soul and to the ascended masters whose care we are under, we will complete our 7 levels of initiation and serve as a bodhisattva for a time, and then we return to the spiritual world and visit physical existence no more. So our true godly demonstration will give us the ticket uptown to the universal levels of consciousness. And we will continue our demonstration and service work on a more expanded level of consciousness, a more subtle and refined frequencies of energy. But this is the destiny that we all share. And to do this, we must transcend our negative ego consciousness.
Wow.
Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Heavenly Father, what a beautiful lesson. We thank you for those who are anointed to speak and to learn and to transcend in writing, letting us understand. Thank you for this beautiful knowledge of our souls, growth, and wisdom that you have displayed in others to help us to ascend and to further. Thank you for letting us be who we are in prayer and in truth. Let us always know how to eliminate the negative ego and to aspire to be an ascended one. We believe it is so. From this day forward, so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Listen, tomorrow we're going to talk about healing our attitude and victim consciousness. Ooh.